T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello. I normally like to use the Queen's greeting when I see Bouton Vixen for the first time, and that normally happens around 3 o'clock. We're on a little bit late today because of the A's visiting the win column again. Hello. Hello, win column. A's are back in it. We're happy to be back on the air. Hopefully you're having yourself a really good Thursday afternoon. This week is flying by, Gianna, isn't it?
I can't believe it's Thursday.
Trucking right past us, and that's good because we got to get through this weekend, and we got a couple of games early next week, and then we are where we've been wanting to be all year, in the NBA playoffs. Oh, I am ready.
Yeah.
Ready. That's a woman who sounds like she's ready.
Me too. I can't wait.
Well, I wasn't the woman who sounded like you were the woman who sounded
yes,
like.
Yes, obviously. Okay. I hope so. Was there something you need to tell me?
No,
we're good.
No secrets.
Okay.
No secrets. Steph Curry. What a game last night. Come on, man. I mean, what more do you want? Steph Curry is, what's the word I'm looking for? Ridiculous. There it is. There it is. That's the word I'm looking for. Here's the deal. This guy could have been the MVP of this league again if he wanted to be. And that's baller. Like, it's straight up a choice. Steph chose not to be the MVP of the NBA this season. He did it with his on-court actions. He did it because he decided that this season was going to be all about our team. It wasn't going to be a my team season. If Steph wanted to have a my team season, he could be doing what he was doing last night all year long. He really could have. He could have been. It's just completely lost on his critics how much of his own game he decided to sacrifice in the name of incorporating the other MVP in the league. Think about it. I don't know how they got to the Hamptons. Are you even allowed to drive there? It feels like a place that you should only be helicoptered into. But let's just say they all helicoptered themselves to the Hamptons. They hit that landing pad. They walk into the room. There's Kevin Durant and his representatives. And they sat down, Gianna, with a list of promises, a whole bunch of guarantees that selfishness is not a word that the Golden State Warriors even understand. Ball movement will be the superstar. We got the two-time reigning MVP willing to take a step back to add the guy who won the MVP before you became two-time reigning MVP. And in order to do that, sacrifices must be made. Everyone on board, everyone looked at each other. Mm-hmm. Yep. Check. Doctor. Done. Ship it. Everyone bought in. The minute people bought in, people tried to have buyer's remorse for the Warriors. Oh, you've made mistakes here. You are going to be sacrificing Steph Curry's game. You are going to be, oh, the supervillains from now on. You're giving up way too much of your bench to do that. What other things were we told? Can't happen. Too much star power for one room. You're basically violating the natural order of basketball law. You're breaking the rules of God, Golden State Warriors. Like there was so much trepidation. So many people were trying to figure out why it wouldn't work instead of concentrating on what had to happen for it to work. And what had to happen was the MVP early in the year, in the sake and in the name of getting Kevin Durant comfortable and on the same page and assimilated into this offense and see what he can do with you. Sacrifice. Steph Curry sacrificed. He is now in a position where not only do they need him to stop sacrificing, they turned to him over the last 13 games and said, hey, man, carry the load. And he's like, oh, okay, done. I gotcha. I got that. Done. Steph went out of his way to have an our team season, not a my team season. Not a my team season. A my team season is the season that James Harden had. A my team season is the season that Russell Westbrook is having. A my team season is basically all of Kobe's seasons. Can you imagine if at any point in time during Kobe Bryant's career, they added a superstar anywhere near his stratosphere? Kobe would have froze him out like the way they froze Isaiah Thomas out of the All-Star game. Actually, it was Isaiah Thomas freezing Michael Jordan out of the All-Star game, and then Michael Jordan and the Dream Team froze Isaiah out of that. Let me get my basketball warring histories correct. We do want to be accurate here on today's broadcast. Can you imagine Kobe Bryant thinking, all right, instead of me getting my 32 a night, what I'm going to do is dial it back to 23 in the name of everyone feeling good? Never, never, ever, 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 ever would that have happened. There is some who would tell you that, well, that's the difference between those superstars and these superstars. Maybe you're right. Maybe that is part of the difference with the way that guys are wired, but I admire the wiring that we've seen from Steph Curry, I think, as much as the wiring that I've admired in Kobe Bryant. By the way, I'm not trying to say a single negative thing about Kobe Bryant's career, but the guy was a ball hog, and he'd rather lose a game dropping 65 than win a game with 14 points. You know, that was kind of Kobe's thing. And Steph Curry would rather win a title not dazzling you then dazzle, 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 and not win a title. And that is a lesson that he learned last year. And he took that lesson to heart. And so, Gianna, when they sat down in the Hamptons and they made their promises to remain unselfish, they meant it. They lived up to it.
They did.
Whatever they promised Durant, they gave to him. And now without Durant, they have basically shown him once again why you came here, buddy. Like, this is why you're here. Kevin Durant gets healthy on Saturday. No setbacks between now and that Laker game at the, what was that, Wednesday next week? And yeah, you can pencil them down for NBA champions. Without getting too cocky and knowing just how quickly radio stations work, I'm going to tell you that we should start planning parade nonsense like now. Like, make it happen. Because there is going to be something big that's going to happen in mid-June. And it's going to happen again. And I can see it, and I think you can see it. And this team promised itself that all of this would happen, and it's happening. This is incredible. There are so many little bits of history along the way that people are so title-obsessed until they win a title this year. No one even wants to talk about the history that they're laying down. They are laying down new tracks for history. It's amazing. It's amazing. We are ridiculously spoiled by this basketball team. And the crazy thing is we better get used to it because there is no end in sight. Remember, technically, this is officially all just beginning.
Which is amazing.
The Warriors haven't even played a single playoff game with Kevin Durant. They've already won one championship and they've gone to game seven in the next. Curry, since he's rested in San Antonio, is averaging now 27.5 points per game, 8.2 assists per game. He is shooting 47.4% from downtown. The Warriors are scoring 120.7 points in 100 possessions with Curry on the court. Right now, before the San Antonio game, he shot 42.9% from three with no defenders within 6 feet. He is just on fire. He is, since March 11th, shooting 53%. He shot 47% in his two MVP seasons.
So he shouldn't even better.
He's shooting even better now than he did when he was an MVP year. I saw Nick Wright today. He put out his three NBA all-team, you know, all-NBA, first team, second team, third team. Nick Wright literally got a job at Fox crucifying Steph Curry. Like, that's what he does. He is the guy all year pointing out what Steph isn't. He's got him second all-NBA. Which is it?
Make up your mind.
Which is it? Is he a failing false prophet MVP that you think was unjustly rewarded? Or is he the starting point guard on your second all-NBA team because you got Harden and Westbrook buddied up together on the first one because the two of them decided to throw down history together? It's like, oh, we got this brand new history made. So let's totally forget about the history that Steph Curry made the year before and how Steph Curry and Klay Thompson will literally, in just a handful of few more seasons, will occupy all 10 positions in the 10 most prolific three-point shooting seasons of all time. Do you realize that the Warrior backcourt will be the top 10 by themselves? By themselves. No one has ever eclipsed over 300 except Steph Curry this year and last year where he has over 400. But what? We can only talk about what we saw this week? Sustained excellence is such a hard thing to do, people don't even notice when it's happening anymore. So here we go, here we go, here we go, and I cannot wait. This is going to be an awful lot of fun. I'd like to go back to what Matt Steinmetz had to say about the Warriors' chances in the playoffs this year.
Durant's going to come back in a good frame of mind. I'm telling you, Damon, if game one of the playoffs occurs and we look at Kevin Durant and say he looks pretty good, I think it's over.
Yeah.
I think it's over at that point. I really do.
There you go. So we should know about 8 minutes into the first quarter of the playoffs, whoever the first opponent is, if the Warriors are up by 10, 8 minutes into the playoffs, oy, oy, oy! Ball game. It's over. I mean, it's just going to be like, oh, so welcome. Game one here at Oracle Arena. It's the Portland Trail Blazers taking on the Golden State Warriors. 10 minutes in, 17-6 Warriors. Good night, everyone. God, it's going to be an awful lot of fun. I cannot wait for this. I can't wait for the playoffs to start. I hate following emails. That sports, there's a section of sports where we're literally now following emails between a player and a team. Hey, Marshawn, are you busy on Friday night? Dear Oakland Raiders, no, I am not busy. Are you guys busy? No, I'm not busy. Are you busy? You want to be busy together? Marshawn Lynch, if you're interested in signing the Raiders, I hope the Raiders sign you and I hope it happens. It's just that simple. Marshawn Lynch to the Raiders, sure, do it. Why hasn't it been done today? It's a long road back. It's a long process. You know what I want? I want this roster filled out before you go into the draft. If Marshawn Lynch is going to be on your team next year, I want to know that before the draft starts. Not that the Raiders are even looking to draft a running back, but, you know, hey, maybe you take Joe Mixon if he's there at the end of the first round.
Yeah, know what you're dealing with.
I want to know what the team, I mean, yeah. Think about what the 49ers might have done had they known Anthony Davis would be retiring two different times ahead of a draft.
Yeah.
Or just after a draft. Like, couldn't have done that before? AD, big feller. We got a great show for you today. We really do. We got off to a late start due to A's baseball. Again, a great win for the A's today. Kind of a gray day over there. Normally, the only gray you want over in Oakland is a sunny. But it was a little bit of a gray day. Little sprinkle of rain.
Mm-hmm.
No delay. And it certainly didn't rain on Ryan Healy's parade. Ryan Healy, I'm telling you, man, we really liked him when we talked to him during the offseason. He just happened to be over at the facility, came out, spent a little time with us. Remember what a nice guy he was?
He had such a good personality.
He really did. He stopped on by during a commercial break when we were over there. He wasn't able to talk to us because he was, you know, playing on opening day, but talked to him just for a little bit. He put one basically on the BART platform today.
Fastball hit high and deep to left. Ryan Healy has gone bombs away on Tyler Skaggs. A massive two-run shot. His second home run of the series. A big inning for the A's and a 4-1 lead.
Oy, oy, oy!
It was a bomb. I mean, it was seriously mushed. Good to see that. Really good to see that. We are going to have David Forst on today. A's general manager is going to join me at 6:10, a little under 2 hours from night right now. Gary St. Jean's going to stop on by to talk about the Warriors, as is head coach Steve Kerr. He's going to join me today at 5 o'clock. Alex Pavlovich is going to be coming up in about 10 minutes from right now. Giants and Diamondbacks wrapping up their four-game set in the desert before they go to San Diego. You look at the rain delays, the winter blustery delays that are going around. That always happens. I really don't know why they insist on all these East Coast openers. What would you rather do? Start your season on the road, but we know we're going to play today for sure because we're in either a dome, the Southwest, yeah. The West Coast. I have no idea why you'd even try to crack off an opening day in, you know, what was it, Chicago, the Bronx. Milwaukee is another terrible place this time of year. Kind of nice for Alex Pavlovich. He opens up in Arizona. I know everyone is a little tired of Arizona because that's where the Giants were all spring training long, so they're looking to get out of there. They're a little tired of being in the same place. But you start in Arizona, then you go to San Diego, then you're going to be back here for opening day on Monday. It's kind of a nice way to start the year. It really is. If you're a fan just bumming around, it's a nice little roadie.
Yeah.
I love Petco. I got to get back down there this summer.
That's so beautiful.
I really do. I have yet to go to a game at Arizona. I've not been to
really?
A game at Chase Field. The Bob, as it used to be known. Never been in there. Buddy of mine sat in the last row, foul pole, upper deck for a World Series game.
Oh, wow.
He said He said the only seats behind me were in the stadium that the Phoenix Suns play in. Like he was up there he was there for the Curt Schilling Randy Johnson game. He was there for the Luis Gonzalez beating the Yankees. Mariano Rivera. Gah.
It's nice.
It's one of the most dramatic baseball games of our entire lives. It's the only night of my life. Here's what a mush I am. I know the Cubs won the World Series, in case you didn't know that they did. So maybe I'm not as much of a mush as I think I am. But it's the only night of my life that I was straight up rooting for the Yankees. I wanted New York to win that World Series after September 11th. That was right after. And I thought if ever the city of New York could use a pick-me-up, here it is. Do it. Go ahead. And then Luis Gonzalez is like, nah, steroids. Luis Gonzalez is like, no, man. Steroids. Here we go. By the way, not a single guy in that Yankees team was on steroids. Not Chuck Knobloch, not Scott Brosius, not Paul O'Neill. No, none of them. Ever. Never. Not Derek Jeter. Not St. Derek, who, by the way, wants to buy the Marlins.
Yeah, he's putting his bid in.
He's going to need a little other people's money to get that done. But Derek Jeter owning a major league ball team at some point? I could wrap my mind around it. I mean, I've watched great players of my youth have gone on to own things, and he seems like he's the smart enough kind of guy. I wonder if he did buy a team, if every beautiful female fan who left got a gift basket.
Oh, my God, he took the words out of my mouth.
Wouldn't that be fantastic? Thanks so much for coming to tonight's Marlins game. Derek wanted you to have this.
What was in the gift basket, reportedly?
Herpes.
Oh, God. And on that note,
Valtrax. I wonder if you. So before you enter Marlins ballpark, you're going to have to give up your cell phone. That was the rule.
Oh, yeah.
You had to give up your cell phone when you went into Jeter's apartment. No pictures, no sound, no recording. And then when you left, you got a complimentary signed baseball, I think a cap, maybe a glove, and some Valtrax.
God, that's horrible. That really is horrible.
Look at it this way. If the rumor's not true, boy, has this guy been poorly positioned. And you know what? He still crushed it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Do you know the amount of women who are like, whatever, schmurpees, who cares? Let's do this.
Now he wants to own a whole baseball team.
The whole baseball team. If he did buy the Florida Marlins, I would really hope that his very first act would be taking down the home run sculpture out in left field, the big rainbowy dolphins jumping pinwheel thing. I call it Liberace's tombstone. I mean, it's just the most ridiculous looking thing I've ever seen. I have to pull that out. And then, you know, since it's a ballpark, why don't we just go with green? Why go with burning your retina lime green around the entire ballpark?
Right, just a nice green.
Albie is texting, I hear they have fantastic strip clubs in Phoenix. Yeah, I've heard that too.
You've heard that?
I've heard that too.
I lived in Phoenix for 3 years.
Did you hear that?
I did.
What we got is we got a lot of blondes in the desert who sun themselves. That's what's going on there.
And that means we have a lot of strip clubs in Phoenix.
Absolutely. You got a lot of girls who are body forward conscious and a lot of young, youthful girls looking to make ends meet. Come on. It's a good way to do it. A lot of guys on their bro trips throwing money around like drunken sailors.
Yeah, you do a lot of bro trips in Phoenix. You've got golf when the weather's decent, and you've got spring training, for God's sakes. It's a perfect time to go visit.
Go to the Scottsdale W. You'd think a Playboy magazine threw up on the pool.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. My boy, I was with Ike hanging out at his he's got an Ike sandwich place by Arizona State.
Oh. Mill Avenue?
Yes.
Ah.
Oh, dude, it was ridiculous.
Freshman year.
I remember I was going there. I'm like, well, look, I don't know the day I'll get divorced, but I know how it's going to happen if we keep doing this.
That was a fun school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you do there? What was the GPA?
Yeah.
Do you have a diploma?
Again, just freshman year.
Gianna went to Arizona State. Oh, I'm sorry, Mom.
Too young, graduated a little too early. I wasn't ready for the craziness of college.
The advanced calculus classes that you took to prepare you for the frats at Arizona State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the hard way.
Arizona State's tough. I tell you, you need to get into Arizona State, a number two pencil and a ride to the school.
Hey, I had a scholarship. Jeez.
Hey, you had an academic scholarship at Arizona State?
I got some academic money to go to Arizona State. You know what? Leave me alone.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Leave me alone.
Arizona State would not give the first black president of the United States an honorary degree until they, quote, saw what he accomplished. So, on that note, Alex Pavlovich, I hope he didn't go to Arizona State.
Jeez.
We don't know. We'll find out. No, we probably won't even bring it up, but we are going to talk about the Giants. 3 games into a season, game 4 comes up next. Alex Pavlovich here on 95.7 The Game.
And the 1-2. And that's the ball game. So the D-backs, after the first 2 outs, come up with 4 straight hits. And they come back and beat the San Francisco Giants.
Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show, and welcome back to Alex Pavlovich. He is with the all brand spanking new NBC Sports Bay Area, covering the Giants again this season, and he's back on the Damon Bruce Show, getting us up close to the orange and black. And boy, I'm sure Melanson would love another bite at that first impression apple. But the truth is, I think he's going to have a very good year for this team. And even though bullpen has been a headache in Arizona here, Alex, I think things are going to just be fine. Is anyone feeling a little extra pressure because of these 2 bad days for the bullpen so far?
No, I think they understand that this is a strange place to pitch, and you really can't judge anybody. We're going to see a completely different team starting tomorrow in San Diego, you know, not just with the pitchers, but with the lineup too. So there was no panic after Sunday's game, and especially with Melanson. I mean, there might be some other issues down the line with that bullpen. I think they have to sort some things out, but with the closer, I think you're absolutely right. He's going to have a huge year for him.
I'm more worried about another lefty arm than I am anything that Mark Melanson is doing right now. Giants couldn't hold another lead last night. They fell to the Diamondbacks 8-6. Matt Moore had a little bit of rough luck. And Brandon Belt, who I think, you know, look at it this way. We talk about Brandon Belt's defense so rarely. He must be pretty good at it, right? I mean, we hardly ever talk about it when we're talking about him as a player at all. So he's normally steady over there. Big error last night. Probably cost him the game.
Yeah, and he was up front about it. I mean, this is a guy, he was a Gold Glove finalist 2 years ago, had some errors last year early on that probably knocked him out of that race. I think he is, if he stays healthy and continues this way, I think he's going to win a Gold Glove one of these years. But it was just a tough hop and ate him up. It's something we don't see. It's something we don't write about often. But he admitted, he said, I cost us that game last night. Everything turned after that. But I think, again, it's something where, you know, these guys have talked so much about how much time they've spent here in Arizona and waiting to get out of here. It's an infield that will eat you up if you're not ready for it. So just a tough break last night. I think it was a game, you know, to me, it's similar to Sunday. You have to make sure those things don't matter. You have to keep piling on. And they had a chance in the eighth there to really come back and tie that game, but they couldn't do it. So this is a place where you can never let up, because you saw what happened when one guy made a mistake.
You know, I know that the ball carries there, but now there's talk of a humidor being used in Arizona the same way it's used at Coors Field to kind of deaden the ball just a tiny bit. They'll say it'll help a pitcher with his grip as well. Have you thought that Arizona needed that drastic of a measure? Because I didn't think when the park opened it played like this. It's kind of been in the last 5-6 years that it's turned into a launching pad. How about, instead of a humidor, just get some better pitching, Arizona?
You know what? I think it wasn't even my first couple years on the beat. I didn't feel this way, but the last 2 or 3 years, it just seems like no game here was safe. And we've seen it this week. We saw it last year quite a bit. I think it is good that they're trying to do something, and it'll be good for those pitchers they have here too, because there are talented guys here, and I think it's just really tough to pitch here, and they don't kind of get that same, you know, boost that guys get when they're at Coors Field. You always say, well, look at the numbers there in Denver. It's natural that happens. I think people don't understand that this place, to me, is right on par with Coors Field right now in terms of toughest places to pitch. And for the pitchers, you look at a guy last night like Taijuan Walker, really talented kid, but it's tough to develop here. So it's good for them that they're doing it. I think they're doing a lot of interesting things here and trying to maybe, you know, get closer to where the Giants and Dodgers are, and that should help them. And it certainly will help guys who come in.
Alex Pavlovich from the all-brand spankin' new NBC Sports Bay Area. By the way, you know, when a Giant has a really good year, you guys will – start someone's MVP campaign. When will you be starting the Eduardo Nunez MVP campaign?
Yeah, you know, he to me has been kind of the revelation of this first week. And the thing about him is he's something completely different than what they have. They have all these even keel guys and then guys who go out there and grind at bats and hit their doubles and hit the ball up the middle and then try to have a good approach. And he's just playing with his hair on fire. And I think it really is a special thing to have when he's healthy. As long as he can stay out there, I think it's going to make a huge difference for him, because we're not necessarily going to see it here. You know, these games are 8-6 or 10-7 or whatever, but you get down to San Diego, you get to Dodger Stadium, you get back home, and if he does what he did last night, where he pretty much single-handedly scored a run, that's going to be a game winner.
Alex, which is going to make Bruce Bochy move Panic up in the lineup faster? Panic continues to swing a huge bat, or someone in front of him regresses? Because I think he should be hitting higher in the lineup. I totally understand why you want him in the eight hole. Best lineups turn over. There's a battle at every spot. Like, I get it. But at the same time, like, he feels like he should be hitting second or, you know,
yeah,
sixth at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough for him because Brandon Belt's done such a good job in that number two spot. And they do like the look there. And they kind of like the look they have in the middle of their order, too. So short of, you know, doing something really strange and moving either Belt or Panic to first, if something continues to happen with Span, I think it's tough for him to move up. It's just kind of the spot he's in right now. But the one thing they do have, and this is something they like and something we've seen quite a bit over the three games here, is they do kind of have it set up now where Nunez is your second leadoff guy, and then you have Panic, who can obviously handle the bat. And on days like Sunday, when you have Bumgarner behind him, I mean, it does kind of turn the lineup over again and make the pitcher really work 1-9. And once you get through that, you're back at the top. So I think that's something they like. I think, you know, for Joe, it'll cost him a few at-bats this year and maybe keep him down there. But it is something that right now they're going to stick with.
Do you think we're going to see Bumgarner in an American League ballpark hit somewhere other than that DH ninth spot? I mean, come on, two home runs on opening day. There's no reason not to, almost.
Well, we saw him last year DH for himself.
Right.
So I think if he stays anywhere close to this, I mean, obviously not going to hit two home runs, not going to hit a lot of home runs. But I think if he continues to have the at-bats he's having and continues to be that threat, yeah, I do think it's a conversation they're going to have, because you look at the guys on the bench, and short of you know, putting a regular in there and putting a Buster Posey at DH to give him a break, or maybe Brandon Crawford or somebody like that. This is probably one that makes a lot of sense.
Latest on Denard Span?
He is playing catch right now, and he will be out there today doing baseball work. I think this is probably still going to be a couple more days. It's been a few days off for him now, so you know how these things work. Every day, they go day by day, and eventually you're looking at 4 or 5 days. But the interesting thing with that is we are looking at a 10-day disabled list now, not 15. So this is something to keep an eye on. If it goes another day or two, they're not going to have to worry about what they did in past years where a guy would miss 8 or 9 games. So I think it is going to get to a point a little bit faster where they make a decision.
With only 3 games played, I'm still not worried about goose eggs, but I bet you Jarrett Parker is 0-for-8, 5 strikeouts, has not looked good. That leash getting shorter?
I think it is. You know, he's a little jumpy right now, and Bruce Bochy was saying he sees big issues with his swing, and that's not necessarily a long-term thing, but you know, whether it's the pressure of trying to go out there and prove himself given the opportunity he's been given, or whether it is just a slump. But this is a guy who is going to have weeks where he does this, and he's going to have other weeks where he hits 5 home runs. So it's just kind of the player he's been, and it's unfortunate for him, kind of with the bullpen on Sunday. It's tough that he started off this way, because I do think if they run him out there every day, he'll figure this out and he'll help him. But it's tough that he had to start off 0-for-7 with 5 strikeouts so far, because it does kind of leave a bad taste in your mouth.
I tell you, there's been some bad weather, Chicago, Boston. It's kind of nice to open in Arizona than San Diego before you come back for opening day in San Francisco on Monday, and that's when we'll see you. Meanwhile, Alex, thanks an awful lot, man. Really appreciate you catching us on a game day. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, Dan.
Thank you very much, Alex Pavlovich, NBC Sports Bay Area. Jeff Samardzija, Robbie Ray tonight as the Giants and Diamondbacks wrap up their opening 4-game set. It'll be off to San Diego after that, and then home Monday. I'm looking forward to opening day on Monday. Just give me a nice, bright Monday morning. Make it a nice, sunny afternoon and make it a beautiful opening day for the Giants at AT&T Park. I can't wait to see her again. I really am. I love AT&T Park. That is one of my favorite happy places on earth. It really is. Can't wait for it to get back. 888-957-9570 is the number. We've had an awful lot from Alex Pavlovich right there. A lot of good stuff on the Giants. The A's have now evened their season through 4 games. They're 2-2. Giants would like to get there tonight. Impressions of opening week, opening day, both sides of the bay. You want to get in, you certainly can. When we do return, what we're going to have for you, I think, is going to be either, well, depends on how you feel about Dennis Rodman, either really interesting or not interesting at all. Again, that's how you feel about Dennis Rodman, who in his weird Rodman-y ways was trying to explain how the NBA works now. And that's next here on the Damon Bruce Show.
You know, we've had a great run the last 3 years, and another great regular season, and really proud of our guys.
Pass McCaw back to Curry. Curry takes a three. It's up and good for Curry. Curry spins Ulis to the screen. Takes a three off the screen. Knocked it down. Curry with the ball. Holds off Ulis. Steps and fires a three and knocked it down. Tyler Ulis is getting an education as to who the two-time MVP is.
Doing everything you can along the way to prepare yourself to win a championship, so we're on our way.
The Golden State Warriors will have home court for the postseason for the third straight year. The buzzer sounds. This one's over. The Warriors are the number one seed in the West. Final score, Golden State 120 and the Phoenix Suns 111.
Seed numero uno. There's no way they're going to get the one seed. No way they're going to get the one seed. Lost 5 out of 8. Oh, my God. I wonder if they'll even be a playoff team. Lottery bound, right? The way people overreact to this team and then change what they're overreacting to. Again, you can't overreact to Durant showing up and then getting hurt and then showing back up all at the same year. You can't. Not be taken seriously anyways. Golden State Warriors are the one seed. The path is now, well, depending on who the 8 seed is, will become a little bit more clear, but they are going to be home for all of it, and that is a very good thing. I know someone's got a Game 7 joke to make right now. That's fine. Go ahead. 2 out of 3 titles. If that's what happens with all of the other let's just call it accoutrement that the Golden State Warriors have put on this? Come on. They're throwing down the greatest three-year stretch in the history of professional basketball recorded, period. End of story. But the regular season doesn't matter. No, actually, it does. It does. It's where all the records come from. Every single record comes from this. There are no point total, no rebound margin, no nothing ever from the playoffs gets put on your career total. Nothing. This does count. I know it's been diminished. I don't know why people who cover sports go around diminishing the importance of sports. Maybe everyone's a little bit bored. But this is going to be fun. This is going to be an awful lot of fun. Haven't heard from Dennis Rodman in a while. As a matter of fact, I think the last time I heard from Dennis Rodman, he was really upsetting like an awful lot of the international community when he took it upon himself to go over to North Korea with Vice Sports and he played on the Kim Jong-un All-Star game.
Yeah.
Really weird. Did you watch that documentary? Did you see it on Vice? It's fascinating. It really is. It's insane. Those North Koreans are insane. There's just no other way to say it. It's not even their fault. It's called state-run brainwashing. And it's just amazing to watch how... it's amazing to watch how Dennis Rodman was over there trying to, what, act on some sort of bridging the gap and differences and people.
Right.
And it's easy to mock him for it, but the thing was, like, it kind of worked. Like, that's the crazy thing. As much as you don't want to do anything to a guy who's, like, feeding his own family members to packs of wild dogs, like, if you don't talk, you don't learn. And if you don't learn, you won't know. And, like, as crazy as it was, as horrifically unqualified as he is to be some sort of a diplomatic emissary in any way, shape, or form, it really did show the power of sport and how if you're willing to overlook centuries of human rights violations, like we can all get along in terms of a basketball game today. I love how sports bridges politics.
It does.
And helps put a little bomb on otherwise very weird, weird, weird situations. Somebody up here on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line says, Warriors, best three-year stretch, Greg Papa voice. Stop it! Well, I mean, what do you want? Would you like to use number of games won over a three-year stretch because they've won more than any team in NBA history over the course of 3 years? How about being the first team ever to win 65 in a row, 3 years in a row? That doesn't do it for you? Like, none of this works? Nothing? Yes, it is the best three-year stretch in NBA history in terms of winning. How many games they've won is not my opinion. It's not your opinion. You don't get to have an opinion about their win total. It's a fact. They have won more games on planet basketball over a three-year stretch looking at it professionally. There it is. You're not allowed your own opinion on that because that's a fact.
Stop it!
Thank you. Thank you very much, Greg, for the assist. So, Dennis Rodman, whatever your opinion is, the fact is he was a hell of a player. So when he does want to talk about a player, there's a part of me that wants to know what he has to say. And then, unfortunately, Dennis loses the room quickly. What happened? Well, he started talking. That's never good for Dennis Rodman. Here is Dennis Rodman, who was a guest on the Writer Than You with Bill Writer show. And he was asked about who the secret ingredient was for the Golden State Warriors. And he gets half of his answer right and half of his answer wrong. Here is Dennis Rodman. And by the way, I have absolutely no clue. The level of his sobriety. I would imagine that Dennis went to a party in 1994 that could still be with him. You know, maybe he hasn't come out of it yet. Who knows? But here is the hardly coherent sort of interesting Dennis Rodman talking about who is the key cog for the Golden State Warriors. You'd think he would say Draymond Green, right? That's what I thought, but here he is.
You know what? Steph Curry has took a step back, and that's what it's cool. It's actually cool because if you see this game now, I always say about that Golden State team, I always say one thing, that one player is the player right there that makes that team. Who is that player? That is right there. That is right there. Thompson. That kid right there is good. If he went to another team, he'd suck. What I'm saying is that what Klay Thompson makes that team, man. Everybody's always worried about, you know, Curry. I know Curry's dad and all that. But I'm saying, but Klay Thompson makes that team. But in Green, that guy, no, it's Klay Thompson.
I mean, just how incoherent was that based on the fact that he said that that guy's the secret ingredient that makes it all work, but if he went to another team, he'd suck?
Yeah, that stuck out.
That just makes no sense because Klay Thompson is, like, my fear is that he will be the first guy who just said, all right, I've won multiple championships. It's time for my own little thing. Mm-hmm. If anything, just to see if I can do it on my own. Like, I would not be surprised if he were that guy 5 years from now. But Klay could do what he does anywhere. Hey, so he's an absolutely, like, serial killer level shooter with no human remorse for anyone, and he plays better defense than any guard in the NBA. So failed, set up to fail, you know, anywhere else? Get out of here. Get out of here. When asked more, pressed more onto the Golden State Warriors, again, guys who played just got no love. Guys who played in the past have no love for the Warriors anymore. They look at it and they think, oh, well, you know, they shoot all these threes, so in a way it doesn't count. Like they had a skill level to match this if they ever tried. Here is Dennis Rodman saying that Tun Run RMC was better. I'm not even kidding. Listen to this.
But you know what? Seriously, people don't get this. And I guess a lot of sports guys here, right? Guess what? Remember the T-Run-Z, what they call it, Golden State back in the day?
Excuse me? Before we go any further, Run TMZ was called TMZ? Let's go back.
But you know what, dude, seriously, people don't get this, and I guess a lot of sports guys here, right? Guess what? Remember the T-Run-Z, what they call it, Golden State back in the day? They was way better than... They was way better then. They was scoring like 130 points a game. They was way better then than now.
Yeah, they would drop about 130, and they'd lose 142-130. They played zero defense. Run TMC was a hell of an offensive show. Outside of that, nothing. It was an insignificant blip of offensive basketball that never amounted to anything. Defense. How do I have to explain defense to Dennis Rodman? I can't believe this. He has a few other things to say. He goes on about LeBron in the least coherent of all of the quotes that we have here. I even told when Albie was playing it, I'm like, dude, I've tuned out already. Like it was a minute really? Long, and I said 20 seconds into it, I said, I'm not playing that bite because 40 seconds in, I'm already done with him. Here is what Steve Kerr had to say about his old teammate evaluating his team.
I got a good kick out of that because I thought, well, Dennis was suspended for 15 years a year anyway. I got plenty of rest.
We went to Vegas.
Or Vegas, or went to WrestleMania. Like, he just took a night off whenever he wanted, so he can't complain.
Yeah, Dennis Rodman talking about LeBron's rest and how Michael never rested and so on and so forth. It's just ridiculous, the cultural war that we see going on between the guys who did it and the guys who are doing it. And notice the war is only in one direction. There's nobody in the modern NBA looking back and going, you know what, they couldn't even shoot threes. Call me when you know how to shoot a basketball. Not one guy said that. All the gruff is coming from the old crusties. 888-957-9570. How about this? Do you like Steve Kerr? Good. So do we. That's why he's joining us next here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.